Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in West Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Graduated from Villanova University in 1960, and from 66 to 69 was its sports information director. He joined the Philadelphia Eagles in 69, and from 1974 to 83 was their general manager. In 1974, he co-founded the first Ronald McDonald House, which currently 368 Ronald McDonald Houses in 64 countries provide over 7,200 bedrooms to families each night. The author of Life is an Audible, his name, Jimmy Murray. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula, this is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Jimmy Murray. And a green milkshake promotion changed the world. And that's his grandson in the background. Jimmy, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Hey, it's an honor to be here. I love Detroit.
Can you talk about your childhood, your mom and your dad growing up in West Philly, please?
Well, Jack, like you say, anything's possible because Mary Kelly and Jim Murray were a young couple. We lived on a place called Little Brooklyn Street, about as big as the room I'm talking to you in. And we were poorer than poor, but we were richer than rich because Pop-Pop Kelly lived on the next step. Uncle Bob and Uncle Bill lived across the street. They had this thing called a car. What's a car? You know, it's called a yellow cab. So we grew up, but nobody locked their doors. It was the best of living. Everybody came back from the war. Everybody was smiling. And we lived a great life. And everything that's come out of the Ronald McDonald House, talk about possible, came from that background. I absolutely had the richest life in the world just because we all were family.
Speaking of family, what was the biggest thing you learned from Mom, Jimmy, and what was the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Well, it was like the Sisters of No Mercy. Do exactly what you're told. I went in the Marine Corps. It was easy compared to Mom and Dad. And they were great. And what they did is by example, not by telling you. They just lived a life. They were just unselfish people. And my dad had one job, went to Roman Catholic High School in Philly, and worked in the dining service at the University of Pennsylvania. And what a fantastic thing. He had asthma so bad that we were going to have to move to Arizona. And I said, oh, my God, I'm going to meet Gene Autry, Roy Rogers. Well, we were too poor to move to Arizona. So we stayed at Brooklyn Street and then moved to another place later. But their example, they did everything without telling you rules. If you just listened and watched the way they operate, I couldn't tie their shoes. I was the luckiest guy in the world. My brother, Franny, and he actually owned part of the Patriots for a minute. Here's two dead enders from Brooklyn Street. And, you know, my sister Janie and Kay are both in heaven. But we were lucky. We had family.
What makes Philadelphia so unique, the city of brotherly love?
Well, you know, I'm glad you said that because I was fighting with different titles for Life's an Audible. And one of them was going to be Great Things Start in Philly. And, you know, hey, a bunch of farmers and some other guys got together and they said, hey, let's call this thing the Constitution. This lady said, I'll do a flag. What do we have? Betsy Ross House. And when I married my beautiful wife, Diane, who I met working with the Atlanta Crackers in years ago in baseball, when we got married, her family came up from Florida. Hey, let's go to Aunt Betsy's house. Now, we have a couple of bartenders from County Mayo on our side. But the point is, Philly is the city of brotherly love. It's where people, neighborhoods, have just grown together, and, you know, it's a reflection. It's Detroit. It's L.A. I've lived all over this country, but I'm a Philly guy. And, in fact, you know, I went to Villanova, as you said in the intro, and all the priests are buried there, the ones that aren't buried at Villanova. And one of the guys who's buried there is Bert Bell, the great commissioner.
Yes, yes.
So a lot of great things started in Philly and are still happening.
Speaking of great things, Villanova University in 1985, Raleigh Massimino, huge upset, won the NCAA tourney. Tell us about Raleigh Massimino.
Raleigh and I were built alike. He was perfect. One of my kids, Jimmy, my namesake, was one of his managers. And we all went there. Well, I did an audible, took the kids in the car, went out and saw him win the NCAA championship. I also had the privilege of being there when he was buried. And then, you know, we got the movie star and the great guy. In fact, my grandson, Jimmy, who's the opposite of me, he's tall, quiet, got good hair. He's a manager for Jay Wright, who was just named the basketball coach, you know, of the decade. So Raleigh built a tradition, and Jay's living it, and we're all enjoying it.
Jay Wright, I believe, won the national championship for Villanova in 2016, 2018. And you mentioned the Atlanta Crackers. Our icon here, the late, great Ernie Harwell, he was once traded to the Crackers for a catcher.
I love that. I don't like that. I love that. Hey, for a West Philly kid going down south to the Tidewater Tides, going to the Marines, and then going to Atlanta, Georgia, I got the greatest education in the world. I was privileged to meet Dr. Martin Luther King. I was lucky because sports reflects history. And Atlanta, Georgia was one of the great traditions of my life, and I still go back there. I ran a restaurant there. I called the Red Barn Inn. Hey, I met my wife there on March 25th. 59 years ago, I met her. We've been married for 52.
We're talking to Jimmy Murray, and if the guy got a little enthusiasm, he'd be pretty good. And I'm Jack Brazzola, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Brazzola. We're with Jimmy Murray, the author of Life is an Audible. If you want to buy the book, www.lifeisanaudible.org. In 1969, Jimmy, you joined the Philadelphia Eagles. How'd you ever get that job?
Well, it's a good story because I was back home from running a bar in Malibu. My mentor, the baseball coach at Villanova, Art Mahan, guy who played for the Red Sox and the Phillies, and he was my mentor. I was a team manager. I'm just a Philly kid. But he changed my life. I was so impressed with him. And he called me and he said, Murray, you got 24 hours. You still know, had his Boston accent, to get back home. So he went up to Our Lady of Malibu. Nobody believes there's that parish. It's right next to Pepperdine. And I said, you know what? It's time to go home. My dad's still with us, my mom. And that changed my life. I went back there, and I was working there in the job I loved back at my school. And then life changed again because Art said, the Eagles are looking for somebody, Pete Retzlaff. Well, Pete Retzlaff, number 44, I knew him. He was a television commentator. And long story short, which is hard for Irish guys, I went down, I did the interview, I came back, and Art said, well, how'd you do down there? I said, well, I don't want to leave here. Oh, you got to go back. Well, I called Pete. Well, you were just here. And once again, long story short, there were 138 applicants for this job as the publicity guy. Wow. And the second interview worked because Pete hired me. And then I met two of my best friends in life. They're both in heaven. A guy named Jimmy Gallagher, who worked at the Eagles for 55 years, and a guy named Chick McAroon, who worked with me at Villanova. And as the publicity guy, it was quite an education. It was a great time. We really did good. And then life with Leonard Toews, the owner. Oh, my gosh. He was amazed. And he was a local guy, and you know, you'll read about him in the book. But he actually let Pete Retzlaff go and then asked me if I would be the general manager, which was hard because I hate the heck that Pete went. But I was the youngest GM probably in the history of the NFL whose father didn't own a team. And that's where the sports history started, and that's how the McMiracle, the Ronald House, started.
And you were the general manager from 74 to 83, and one of the first things you did was hired a coach named Dick Vermeil from UCLA who had just won a Rose Bowl over the number one undefeated Ohio State Buckeyes. How'd you ever convince him to leave Southern California for Philly?
Well, that's a great story because when Leonard said we're going to hire a new coach, I said under one condition, and he said, what's that? I said, even if we interview God, he's got to come back twice, because Leonard was very impulsive. So we had some really interesting guys. First guy we interviewed was Norm Van Brocklin, who was promised the job by the Irish guys when he won pre-Super Bowl, the 60 championship. And then Joe Paterno. And, you know, it's all that good stuff. But we were watching the game you talked about. We were out in L.A. to interview Hank Stram. He was doing the color for the Super Bowl. And I'm looking at this game, and here comes this central casting guy, this Dick Vermeil. And as you just said so adroitly, not only did he play Ohio State, he beat him. So I immediately did the Irish thing. I called him. And he said, thanks, but no thanks. And he hung up. And I said, well, that was close. Maybe that guy would have been. And 5 minutes later, he called back. And I said, Coach, can you come over? We're at the bungalow at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Leonard Toews lived first class. These bungalows, the room service bill was more than the house I grew up in on Brooklyn Street. So over comes Dick Vermeil in a blue and white UCLA. And we go in, and we have a pretty intense three-hour interview. And all at once, he said at the end, can I ask you a question? I said, there are no questions out of bounds. Why would I come to Philadelphia? I said, what's that mean? And he said, well, I've been there. I was a special teams coach for George Allen, the Ram. And all at once, I said, you come to Philadelphia, I'm going to meet Jeremiah. You don't know who he is. I said, but you're going to move to Philadelphia. You're not even going to move to Philly. If we hire you, you're going to bring your whole family. And you're not only going to bring your whole family, you're going to live there the rest of your life. And you're not only going to live there the rest of your life, you're going to become a household word. And he's doing the Blue Cross Blue Shield commercials. They don't even put his name on the thing. I mean, he is still here. He lived up to that. We got to the Super Bowl. We didn't win it, but he won it later. And that was the greatest. That saved my life, my job. And as I said, he's still Philly all the way.
In 1980, as you said, the Eagles' first Super Bowl trip, Super Bowl 15 against the Raiders. You lost 27-10. Tell us about that day, Jimmy.
Well, that was anguish. You know, getting there is half the fun. And everybody from Philly came. Everybody needed a ticket. All the movie stars were there. And I'll never forget, I got my life lesson, because when you're the GM, I'm the young GM, I'm in charge of blame. So I went up to Leonard Toews's box where all the movie stars were. And I'll never forget, there was a lady attacking the Bishop of Philly, Cardinal Kroll, who was from out your way, Cleveland. And the lady's screaming at him, what happened? He said, what's that mean? She said, God didn't answer our prayer. He says, what's that mean? We lost. And I'll never forget his line. He said, listen, lady, God always answers our prayer. Sometimes the answer is no. And that got me through it. And luckily, I didn't go to the last Super Bowl. My kids were all there. I was with a buddy of mine, a bishop from Jersey, who was a Philly guy. And I watched the game. And with these new phones, I could see my kids at the game. And so life's a full circle.
You were with the Eagles from 69 to 83, 15 years. What did the Eagles players teach you, Jimmy Murray?
Well, they taught me that the power of sport for good doesn't have a boundary. And I'm sure I know that, because I know what the Lions do and the Tigers do. And you know what? When you put sports identifying with a cause, you can't put limits on it. And that's, of course, we had a player, Fred Hill. Fred Hill's daughter had leukemia. A guy named Stan Lane, one of his neighbors, had an event. They called it Eagles Fly for Leukemia. Leonard Toews grabbed me. He says, check this out. It's got our name on it. I went to St. Christopher's Hospital in North Philly, looked for the doctor, a guy named Laurie Naaman. He just went to heaven, pray for him. And when we're all done touring the hospital, I said, what do you need, Doc? Mr. Toews wants to give you whatever you need. And he said, Jimmy, you were just here. We need everything. And then he stopped, and this is what's missing in life today. He said, there's somebody with a greater need. Now, this guy didn't know if it was $5 or $5 million. And I thought, what an unselfish act. So I went looking for the chapel at St. Chris's. They had a room that was even better, named after me, called the Quiet Room. And I watched kids having kids walking out of the hospital. And so I went back up, and I had to meet this woman, Dr. Audrey Evans. She changed my life forever. And I bop in and do my little happy, Dr. Evans, Jim Murray, Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know anything about them. I said, we're on TV every week. I don't have a TV. Strike two. And then I said those magic words, what we used to do in contract negotiations. I said, we have cash. Oh, sit down. And now I take her to meet Leonard Toews. And I said, you got to make it quick. So we're at Children's Hospital. He said, well, what do you need? She said, well, we need rooms. Kids are sick. We give them radio. Well, how much? How much? She said, $50,000. How many rooms? Two. Okay. He said, good. How much for the whole floor? Because he's a guy who used to take a hit with 18. He had another problem. And I said, she said, $1 million. And he said, the Eagles pledge $1 million. And he turned to me and he said, Jimmy will raise it. Well, that's what the book's about. The miracle of me, having never passed biology at Villanova, couldn't spell the diseases, going out. And the Philadelphia fans, just like in Detroit, not only did they come through, I didn't know what to do. We had a promotion. We used to work with an agency called Elkman. They had the McDonald's account. And it was a great guy named Don Tuckerman. So I said, Don, what's your next promotion? He said, your guys. I said, who's my guys? He said, Shamrock Shakes, green milkshakes. I said, can we get a quarter from each milkshake? He says, well, Ed Renzi, later became president of McDonald's, was a regional guy. So what do you want to do? He said, well, can we call the house the Ronald McDonald House? I said, you give me all the money and call it anything you want, the hamburger house. Well, that's the miracle was born right there. And as you so beautifully said in the intro, there are 385 of these houses all over the world. I've been to half of them or more. I mean, it's impossible to even make up this story. But that's the marriage of sports and telling a story. And it's not about the millions and all the... And then I went to the convention in Chicago 2 years ago, and the second thing they said about after the 385 houses, they said there are 501,000 volunteers. Now, that's Detroit. That's everywhere. People that come, drive the carts, clean in the kitchen, take care of the families. And then the third thing they said, there's a lady in the first row here from a drug company, their last initials V, like Villanova, and they just gave us a check for $100 million. So here's a little Irish kid that grew up in a little house being part of a McMiracle that people identify with. You get on defense. Some doctor says to you, your life's changed forever. Here's what you have. Even worse, here's what your child has. That's the difference in life. That's the old neighborhood in Detroit. That's where you, where did you grow up?
South side of Chicago.
Yeah, okay. Well, then you know.
Yes.
And your neighbors, they became friends for your life, your best friends.
Yes.
And that's what the Ronald McDonald House does. I could write 100 books and not begin to tell the stories of how many relationships and families have changed. I know my life's changed every time I go in the Ronald House because it's not just about the numbers. And thank God, God sent McDonald's and Ray Kroc. He came to our first opening. The first house opened 45 years ago on October 15th. And it's hard to believe that you can't put limits on prayer and God.
We're talking to Jimmy Murray, the author of Life is an Audible, www.lifeisanaudible.org. And he's got a heart the size of Secretariat's. And I'm Jack Rasool. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasool. We're with Jimmy Murray, the co-founder in 1974 of the first Ronald McDonald House, which are 385 houses today, 64 countries, 7,200 bedrooms to families each night, with an estimated value of $700 million in lieu of hotel cost. 45 years later, Jimmy, what have these tens of thousands of sick young kids and families taught Jimmy Murray?
Well, it always goes back to one, and I'll give you the best story. Because I got a call from one of the ladies who worked with me, Carol. I said, you got to volunteer at the Ronald House. And the short version of the great story is a family named Taylor from a little place called Portage, Wisconsin, had their first two girls, Emily and Claire, and they were born conjoined. So they had to go right to Philly, go to Children's Hospital. Well, not only did they come to Children's Hospital, they had like 50 surgeries. They actually lived where I'm talking to you from, in my couch in my house. They became part of our family. And that's 35 years ago, that miracle of medicine. Those two girls, they're kids. They're part of our family. My kids are part of their family. So you can't make up what God can do with the power of prayer. And I could tell you story after story. There's not enough room in all the books in the world, because it's not about Jimmy Murray. It's not about the Eagles. It's about families on defense, people that now have had the greatest challenge of their life, and all at once they have somebody to share it with. You sit at that kitchen table. You talk about Dick Vermeil. Dick Vermeil, one of the first things he asked for besides the moon and the stars, I said, what do you need to make a winning team? And he said, round tables at training camp. I said, what's that mean? And he said, well, we're not very good, so we have to sit down and talk to each other and look each other in the eye. So that's what Ronald House does. Sometimes you start, you know, I'm a talker, you're a talker. We make money, we make a living saying things. You know, some of the greatest things that ever happened in a Ronald House, not a word is spoken. It's a mom's tear. It's a dad's tear. It's meeting somebody. I never, ever, ever go to a Ronald House and I'm not touched in my heart by, hey, how lucky an ordinary day is, how healthy your own kids are. And once again, to share a joy is to have make it double, and to share a sorrow is to have half the trouble. So for me, I could fill volumes, and it's probably better. One of the things I like to say when I give a talk is a lot of people don't understand the word silent. And the word listen have exactly the same letters. So that's what I try to do besides talk, is be silent and listen to my heart. And thank God that I made that call to Mickey D's and that they answered the phone. And when you go by McDonald's today in your town or something like that, they still have Shamrock Shakes. They still have little box, put a quarter in. And it's not just the money. It's just say, hey, life's a team sport. Pray for the people that are on defense.
We're talking to Jimmy Murray in 1987. He was awarded the President Ronald Reagan's Medal of Volunteers of America. Talk about the toughness and the heart of these special kids, Jimmy.
Well, you know, unless you're like a child, it says in the big book, you won't go. I mean, these kids are amazing. You would not know that they're going through the kinds of things they are. But once again, that's why, like a child, we're not spoiled yet. You know, these doctors and nurses, and well, I mean, it's not about me or even sports. It's the unsung hero. You know, one of the hardest words to define the English language is healthcare and medicine. It's so complicated. It's all the politics talk. But you know what it is? It's, hey, Dr. Lieberman used to come and take care of my dad. He came with a big black bag. He could have done open heart surgery in our house. Now you got to give all kinds of numbers. So what the Ronald McDonald House does is put people with the same problems at the same team. And that way they can share with each other. And as I say, I remember going to the opening of the Ronald House in New York, you know, Sloan Kettering. And I think the doctor said 4.5% of the kids were cured. Well, 10 years later, they cure 80-some percent of the kids. So what it is you see the joy of a child meeting a stranger who becomes his best friend through the Ronald McDonald House. So they're not just families. One of the things we had in our kitchen was all the cities in the world that the people come from all over the world to come to Children's Hospital. You couldn't see the map. So people who can't speak the same language but are dealing with the same crisis or the same problem, and all at once they're not speaking the right language, they're hugging each other. They become friends for life. So that's the part of it that I see and that I never get used to. So that's why I can't thank you enough for sharing this story, because if somebody out there is listening, whether in Detroit or Chicago where you grew up, and you say, you know what, knock on the door and say, I heard some crazy Irish guy talking from the Eagles, and say, can I get a tour of the Ronald House? And God will touch you, and something will happen.
We're talking to Jimmy Murray, and talk about a shining example of how God can transform the world if we simply let him use us. Jimmy, many people say you've devoted your entire adult life to miracles. Do miracles still happen today, Jimmy Murray?
I call them McMiracles. Not only do they happen, I see the kids year later. I go to their graduations from school or college. I see moms and dads who are just on defense. Just, you know, the miracles are the little things. We just got, I went to the American Farm Board Euro yesterday up here in Philly. Now, here's some people, the farmers, they're all farmers, and they've been part of the Ronald House for 22 years. And you say in here, and we now have a chef because we have 100 and some people eating every meal. And he got up and he gave the greatest talk about taking care of the families there. But what was more impressive, there was a lady there talking to the kids that were in the room. And she was reading a story. And then at the end, they were all wearing little blue shirts and said, please pray for Riley. Who's Riley? A six-year-old girl who had just come out of the Ronald House, out of Children's Hospital, and they think she's cured. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't care how much I talk. I don't care about the story I tell. But I do care about the Rileys of the world because you don't know what people are faced with every day. But to see the tears of joy when a doctor said your child's going to be all right, hey, that's the Super Bowl. That's the spiritual Super Bowl. That's what life's about. That's why, hey, the Lions are going to get better. The Eagles will get back in or Villanova will win an NCAA. But your child's all right. You just won the championship.
The author of Life is an Audible, Jimmy Murray. If you want to learn more, www.lifeisanaudible.org. Jimmy, I quote you now. This book's about family and the power of prayer. Talk to us about the power of prayer.
Well, you know, I studied to be a priest and got thrown out for something I didn't do, me and three other Irish guys, so my kids and grandkids are glad. But you know what? I remember, you know, I'm big with the Trappists. They are the Catholic order of priests. They have a great place. Thomas Merton wrote books in Kentucky. And I remember going there for the Super Bowl and or for the NCAA championship you talked about. And but you go there and you see men, and especially the nuns that taught me, they just pray all the time. And you can't put a limit on it. And, you know, it doesn't always work that you get the answer you want. But you will get help. You will get consolation. And once again, forget the statistics. It's one child. When your child gets sick, your world stops. You change life forever. I mean, one of the toughest things in the world, I remember when Dr. Evans said, you know how many families get divorced? And I said, what? Oh, yeah. She said, they can't. The marriage, well, you know what? You know how many marriages are saved because they can stay together. They have a hot meal. They have new friends. They have a Ronald McDonald House. So our big thing is, do you have enough faith? You know, we have a new bishop who's a Philly guy. He was just the Bishop of Cleveland. As we sit here today, he's getting inaugurated, the 10th Bishop of Philadelphia, a guy named Nelson. And Nelson Perez. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do for that guy? I'm going to tell you a secret. Well, I have a buddy named Dick Perez. Who's he? He's an artist. He was an artist for the Baseball Hall of Fame. The Phillies hired him, and he did the portraits. Well, I'm going to say, Dick, your namesake is now the Bishop of Philadelphia. So I'm going to tell you the secret. I'm going to commission him to do a little portrait or a picture of Bishop Perez so that the two Perezes can be together. So prayer can do anything. I know I'm a little off the wall, a little Irish and crazy, but you can't put limits on what God can do.
We're talking to Jimmy Murray, and I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Crisula, host of WJR's Anything is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible. Of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Pasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Jimmy Murray, former GM, Philadelphia Eagles, and the co-founder of the first Ronald McDonald House in 1974. God has really blessed you, Murray. Twice, you were with St. John Paul II, 1979 in Philly and 1987 outside Rome. Tell us about those two experiences.
Well, being an old baseball guy, you're always thinking of a gimmick. So our last child, John Paul, the Pope's coming to Philly, and, you know, I could have gone to the cathedral and all that, but I just said, no, I want to be with the people. And all at once, I'm in the stands, I'm sitting by three nuns, and I had a little shirt made. I, too, am named John Paul, in your honor, for his glory. And all at once, I down there, I take the nuns, I said, you got to be down front. And we walk down, and all at once, there's this roar in the crowd, and like life's inaudible. Well, John Paul was going to take the limo from the cathedral to the place they had set up for mass, right outside where you see the Rocky statues there in Philly. And all at once, he decides he's going to profess. And out of 1.5 million people, he walks through the crowd, Secret Service, and I'm looking at the picture as I talk to you. They're in panic because he runs over, and the picture I have, I'm going to send you one, is him touching his namesake. So what are the odds? I'm naming your kid John Paul. And then what happened several years later, a guy from Chicago, his family, Ed Pizak, who Mrs. Paul's Foods, he took me to Rome, and we go to see Pope John Paul. And just like this show's a half hour, the guy running it says, look, breakfast the last 20 minutes. Well, he just wanted to talk to me. So an hour and a half later, I said, Holy Father, you know who you really are? No, Jim, who am I? I said, you're the head coach of the world. Now, I'm doing one-liners on the 264th successor to St. Peter, and he's laughing. Then roll ahead. Ed Pizak was very big in Poland. He says, we're going to go meet Stan Musial, who I knew, because we had a thing with the Cardinals, with the Atlanta Crackers. And here, Stan Musial and I are invited to breakfast once again with the Holy Father. So to be there with the real Cardinal, you know, here I am, 812 Brooklyn Street, little dead-ender kid. But the big thing is, people are people. And Pope John Paul is a saint. Why? You know, one of the things I did when I went to Poland, I said to Mr. P, look, do you mind if I do something? He said, what? I said, I'd like to go to Auschwitz. What? So it was a freezing night. Long story, I'll cut the time. I give the guy a few bucks, the guard. He takes us to the place where Maximin Kolbe, who's a saint, gave up his life, sacrificed for somebody else they were going to shoot, and he took his place. But to go to Auschwitz and walk in there and see a place that was as bigger than a stadium with all these suitcases with the families or the people they took right from the train and then executed them. And then we went to that cell of that man, that little Polish bishop who gave up his life for a friend. And what happened? You know, here was God. I've seen the man, his life he saved, come to the United States and give a thing. But if you've gone to Auschwitz, you've seen the definition of evil. But you tell what? They did a big thing this year, people who survived Auschwitz. And there are no words. I'm a word guy. I pray for those people that were taken to that place all my life. And a lot of times we're in prison without anybody ever visiting us. So if you ever get to Poland and you want to get moved, not emotionally, you don't have to say a word, because that was the definition of what's wrong with the world. The Ronald McDonald House is the definition of what's right with the world. And for a little lumpy Irish guy to even have the experience of traveling all over the world, being with all these people who are household names, I'm still an altar boy. I'm still a guy who doesn't forget my roots. I'm still a guy that people who grew up in neighborhoods in Detroit or Philly understand how rich we were.
St. John Paul II was most famous for the most used phrase in the Bible, 365 times in the Bible, be not afraid. Jimmy, arguably the greatest man of the last 50 years of the 20th century, what made him so special?
because he worked. You know, during the war, he was saved because he never forgot his roots. Because he was a guy, besides being brilliant and speaking all the languages and being the head coach of the Catholic Church, the 264th successor, and yet he never forgot where he grew up. Read his book. Read the story of John Paul's life. I couldn't even begin to say it if I was on this program for 2 days. And he changed the world, changed the church, and, you know, God is good. And it's and you can't explain the things we talked about that have gone wrong, but you can explain the things that have gone right by just looking at someone's face. You look at John Paul's face, whether it's in a picture or if you're lucky enough with me to sit across from him. I saw God in him.
Speaking of God, Jimmy, someday when you hear the 6 greatest words anybody can ever hear, well done, good and faithful servant, Jimmy Murray, and there's tens of thousands of young kids and families around there thanking you for what you started with Ronald McDonald House, what are you going to say and what are you going to do?
What am I going to say to them? Be still. Know I'm the Lord, not Jimmy Murray. Whenever you get on defense, whenever you have a need, when you ever want to pray for a friend, just be quiet, listen, and be silent.
As our time winds down together tonight, what advice would you give to our young listeners?
We all, God said, and it says in the Bible, unless you're like a child, you will not see. And, you know, don't let go of your childhood. Live it. Don't grow up too fast. Be present. Do what you like to do. I don't care if you like to play stickball, which we did in the treat, or go see the Lions, or go see, you know, go to a Tigers game. You know, be present to be your friends. Life's a team sport. Wherever you go, grade school, high school, college, you know, don't forget that. Don't forget that you're not here by yourself. And to share it. Somebody said to share a joy is, once again, to make it double. To share a sorrow is to have half the trouble. So if you're on defense, you know, and dream. Who the heck thought that some little Irish kid who, you know, would become general manager of an NFL team? Gosh, you kidding me? But you know what? Don't put limits on prayer. I'm still trying to pick my major. I don't know what I'm doing.
So, Jimmy, you are a quintessential example that God's ways are not wired ways, and he can transform the world with any of us if we simply let him. Thanks a million.
No, thank you, Jack. God bless you. If I get to Detroit, I'm calling you.
All right. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spawn.
Believe in yourself.